Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, what a week it's been.
Yeah, buddy.
A little nice sunshine here in the Pacific Northwest. I know other places I've been talking 70 degrees up in the Northeast. And man, down in Florida, they've been 90s. It's been all over the place out there. But it seems like we're kind of getting into springtime a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Starting to change. We're getting there. It's still, for us at least, in the Pacific Northwest. We're getting cold overnight still, so spring's not quite here, but we're getting up into the upper 60s, which for us is very nice weather.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take it. It's been just a weird springtime weather thing here, but doesn't mean we can't be digging on those projects. You know,
absolutely.
This last week I was building on the deck a little bit and got that moisture shield decking down there. And then, man, this last week I've been working with getting the tile down in the bathroom, getting that project wrapped
up. Hammering on that bathroom project.
Oh, man, it's been grueling, but it's all good. And if you've been watching on social media, you'll see pictures from time to time on it. So we're getting closer, getting much closer. So I'm excited about that. Well, today I wanted to talk about some stuff. This is going to be fun. So kind of the first subject I wanted to dive into is the current housing economy and what it means to you. People go, I don't know, I own a house. Who cares, right?
Yeah, I'm a renter. Why do I care?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because that's kind of a multifaceted deal that's going to be kind of interesting out there. Let's talk about the obvious one. I think in just about every market, there's always exceptions, housing prices are going through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, my neighborhood here, my house has gone up probably $150,000 to $170,000 in a year.
Wow. I don't know this for sure, but that seems like it could be unprecedented, like really for that short of a time span.
It's really going. Now I got a good deal on it, but the thing is now that's catching up. So one of the first things, if you're in one of those housing markets where you're watching those, you know, maybe you haven't had the appraisal, but you're jumping on the Zillows and the Redfins
looking
and the realtors, and it gives you your estimate of what your house is, and you're like, wow, that's worth $100,000 more than it was a couple years ago. My first question to you, is your house insured for that? So let's think about this for a minute. If you have a replacement value on your house, and lumber prices right now are three times what they were for framing lumber a year ago, are you insured to cover that cost? Because they've got a cap in your insurance. When was the last time you went online and looked at your insurance policy? And can you actually rebuild the house for what you're insured?
For that amount, yeah.
You know, it's one thing to have a house burned down, for instance, or some other catastrophic event. But could you put it back? I don't know. When you're seeing $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 additions to a budget for framing a house right now because of lumber prices?
That's a lot of money.
Are you insured for that? So that's my first one. Second one. It's not all just lumber. Everything is going up. we're not hearing much about the inflation in the construction industry, but I just priced in a glass shower door for my house.
Wouldn't think it'd be too expensive.
Yeah, $2,500.
That's an expensive door.
That's an expensive door that I'd rather not be paying. And it seems like, sheesh, what, a month ago? Let's go back a year. Let's go pre-pandemic and go that kind of thing. That was probably an $1,800 door. At least the prices I was getting back then.
Yeah.
So I think we've got two things. I think, one, we've got materials coming in. We've got material shortages.
Across the board.
Doesn't help when we have an Evergreen ship blocking the Suez Canal out there either.
Luckily, they got that moved. But
Yeah, that was. They should have called a bunch of United States 4x4 guys in there.
They should have called some Oregonians. Bunch of mutters. Yeah. We know how to get rid of big things.
Oh, like
that
the whale? Yeah, we just blow the ship up in the middle of it.
Let's just get rid of it. Get done with it.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go ahead and search back in the
80s?
Early 80s? I don't know. In Oregon here, they decided to, there was a big whale that washed up on the shore.
Big dead whale, yeah.
Big dead whale. What do? No, they don't go bury it. No, they don't drag it back out to sea.
They grab a bulldozer, do anything like that.
No, they throw dynamite in it.
Get rid
of
it.
They blow it up. Which spray sounds really cool.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they had whale guts that were crushing roofs of cars as it fell back down to Earth. Go to YouTube. It's not hard to find.
No, there's a video of it happening, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. No, that was I don't know if that was KGW that was on site for that one or whatever our local news story was, but you could find that out there. But anyway, we got to be careful out there because prices have gone through the roof, and that's affecting our housing. So make sure you've got that replacement cost. And with the shortage of materials out there as well, make sure that if you've got insurance for like maybe your insurance company is going to put you out in the house, talk to your agent and make sure you've got coverage for that. Because I would say right now it could take you an extra 2 months to a housing project, 3 months, because there's two things. One, first off, your permitting process. Just to get through the city with the social distancing and all that stuff that's going on still to this day, there's backlogs.
Exactly. It's just that there are a lot of people home. There are a lot of people that want to do projects, and they've got to get the permits for them, and there's not a lot of people working at the permitting offices, so they've got up to 2 to 3, maybe even more months' worth of backlog to get through, so it's going to take some time.
Oh, man, it's like the DMV here in Oregon. It took me 6 months to get my truck.
No, it's taken some people up to, 6 months, 8 months, nine months. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so you just need to be prepared for that kind of stuff. So I want you to think about how that and the shortage of labor is going to affect your price of your house. So make sure you're well covered in the insurance thing. Now, what I want to get into here, and we got time in this segment, which I like, is if you're saving up for a new house, what are you thinking about doing with that? If you're a renter or you're a homeowner that wants to step up into the next level of house.
Well, and I imagine that over the last year, because I imagine you've been saving for longer than a year, that your plans have changed over the last year because it's a lot more expensive. You probably don't have as much money to buy what you were initially planning on buying with that money. So where do you go from here?
A couple things. One, depending on what your job is, if you're telecommuting and you can work from anywhere, there's some places in the country in the Midwest where you could still buy a cool house for $150,000.
Yeah.
I can't buy a piece of land for that in our metro area.
True.
So think about maybe expanding outside your search boundaries. You know, and I'm not saying go buy a house in the middle of Iowa in the cornfield someplace, but I'm saying that look around. There's some good deals out there in areas that could be a good fit for you. So think outside the box a little bit like that if you want to get out of the area. But two, and I had an interesting discussion with this with my friend that I grew up with, and he was thinking about getting a house to be a rental.
Okay.
And starting I'll be
doing
honest. Doing the landlord thing.
Yeah.
He's not well off by any means, mm-hmm. Blue collar kind of guy. But the thing is that I had to remind him that, man, there's a lot of risk at this because first off, you're looking at buying a house on what I'd say is the high point of the market, not the low point of the market. I don't think housing prices are going to go up and up and up another 20%. They could, but I think the bigger spike we have on price, if you look back at history, many times there's a crash on the back of it.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful of that. So if you're buying an investment property, it's not the best plan to buy at the high side of the scale versus the low side of the scale.
Especially if you're looking at the horizon and going, oh, they'll probably... I don't know. For me, I find it difficult to perceive that the house prices are going to come down anytime soon, but all it does take is the bubble to burst.
Yep.
And if that does happen to happen in the near future, you are better off waiting.
You are. And so what I'm also worried about is you have to pay attention to it, and we don't talk politics in this show, but you also need to pay attention to what state you're in, and are you in a landlord-friendly environment?
Yep.
I'm sorry, in Oregon, where I live, we are not in a landlord-friendly environment. There's balance to all that. But definitely, if you're a renter in our area, you've got more rights than the landlord does. And that can be good. That can also be bad, because what that also does is it makes a lot of people out there, once this COVID thing is over, and once we've kind of gotten through that, you're going to see a lot of landlords going, man, I haven't got paid in a year.
It's time.
I'm out. Or it's going back to the bank.
Well, yeah, I either start getting paid, or I have no choice.
Yeah, there's going to be some hard choices there. So I want to talk a little bit more about this, how it's going to affect you purchasing a house or you renting a house to get to purchase a house. And we're going to do that just as soon as Around the House can returns here. And we've got another thing here as well where I want to talk about how to buy that house and save some money. We'll talk about that just as soon as we can.
Another CD bar, $10,000 a gear in my beat-up car. I'll never give up the fight. Spend my money on gas and I'll make tonight. You know it could be worse, I could be digging a ditch. Got a $20 gig, but the chicks think I'm rich.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G., your home improvement source. Hey, make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G., and, you know, that's kind of the easiest place to get us on social media. But really, heading over to our website, Around the House Online, that's kind of the comprehensive one stop if you're looking for the website.
Yeah, that's home base. That is where the podcast goes up first. And that is where it populates from, aroundthehouseonline.com. Also, you can find Eric's video segments that he does. You can contact us, send us an email, or we can answer your questions here during the radio show. The only way, really, to do that, give us a call. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number here in studio, 971-233-8992. Call, leave us a message. We'll call you back. We'll get you in the show.
We're here to help. All right. Well, we've been talking about some things about our houses, right? Because Everything seems to be changing a little bit right now as far as pricing and availability, what's going on out there. So what I was talking about was worried about investment properties right now. And I'm sorry, if you jump online right now and you're seeing all the people out there that are selling their house flipping business stuff, are out there going, oh, it's the time to go. Don't worry about the market. I think it's bad advice. They're out there trying to
they're a salesman pitch right now. Yeah.
Their sales, their house flipping seminars.
They're dangling the hook in front of you, hoping that you'll bite.
Be careful, guys. I've seen, you know, I've been in this industry a while, about 30 years now. And, you know, it's one of those things that when you look at it, these things go through cycles, and I think we're on the high side of the cycle, not the low side of the cycle. I could be wrong. We could always see stuff that's unprecedented, but, you know, it's interesting. I think it's going to play out a little bit differently this time, but I think it's still going to follow the national trends. So I think we've got probably another year or so of things getting more expensive, and then it might level out. I know lumber prices are going to be this way for a year. So plan ahead with that when you're taking on those projects and your house.
Well, and it's also hard because it is a cycle, and we don't know how far down they're going to come. So if they do you know, and it's all speculative at this point, but you just don't know. It's like, oh, well, things are probably, when prices come back down, they're probably not going to be the same as they were 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about buying a place for an investment property like we were talking about before we went out to break, a couple of things I want you to do, and my buddy was not informed because he goes, well, I just have a property management company manage it, and then it's good. And I'm like, all right, man. You think let's follow my logic is what I told him. And I'll just tell you kind of what my advice for him was. And I was like, you're going to go buy a place at top of the market right now. It just is. You've got everything that's going to be more expensive. Now, I hope your property management company is a good property management company because they're the ones they're going to find somebody to put in that place.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a good renter, you're good. If they're a bad renter and they trash the place,
it's a headache.
It's a headache because you got to go in and fix it. If they bust out windows and trash floors, and he goes, you mean I got to pay for that?
Well, yeah, their deposit only covers so much.
Exactly. But his impression was that the property management company would help out since they put him in there. I'm like, that's not how that works.
They manage. They don't
pay. They don't invest. Big difference.
Yes.
And then I said, he goes like, well, I mean, I said, so what happens if the market crashes and you can't find a renter? Oh, yeah, I just sell it. I said, well, now it's the bottom of the market. So now your house just lost $100,000. You're $100,000 upside down in it.
And having to find someone to buy it.
And trying to find somebody to buy it that maybe isn't ready to buy it. And his comment was, I think I'll buy a hot tub.
Yeah, there you go. That's a little better. I mean, so.
But you know what I mean? I mean, it's one of those things you got to be really careful with and have the resources to manage through those times that go bad. Because there's going to be times in the rental market. Your family's got some rentals.
Yep. Well, that's what I was about to say. And this is a little bit different now in a prolonged pandemic world. But
sure.
I would think in general, if you're looking for something like that, kind of what my family did is buy a multi, I don't know how you.
It's a multi-unit property.
Yes, exactly. A duplex or a quadplex. Yep. Something like that to where you have multiple people that are in there. And the really nice thing about it that my family really likes is that when somebody does decide to move out, that's their opportunity to upgrade. Because when
Absolutely.
They upgrade, they can up the rent.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think what's going to happen, especially in our market and some of these markets here where we've had, you know, moratoriums on people be able to
evictions
pay and evictions and stuff like that. We unfortunately know that many people aren't going to be able to turn around and write a check for 10 or 12 grand or
once this is
15
all
grand
yeah.
or 20 grand. So we're going to have some big problems with that. But that's going to take a year to shake out. I think that's really going to take a year to shake out. So I'm really looking for that rental market and people out there in the homeowners because a lot of people are just going to be selling their stuff. They can't get them out anyway, but I think you're going to see more inventory when they say, okay, we're back to normal again. I think you're going to see more people turn around and sell those rentals that just can't stomach having to do that. You know what I mean? I think there's going to be an interesting process with that to see how many single-family residences aren't going to be available for a rental.
Now, would you say that now, because the market is so high, is it the time to sell?
Of course it is. If you can
find a buyer.
Plenty of buyers out there. This is a seller's market. So if you've got that rental property and you're like, I'm done doing it, sell, 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 sell. You'll be good. The problem is, and we'll talk about this when we come back for break, the problem is if you're trying to sell your house to upgrade into the next bigger one, you're also paying a premium. You're going to get a ton of money for your place.
But you're going to pay a ton.
You're
going to
pay a ton
place.
On the next one. So that's where sometimes I've seen people turn around and you kind of have to walk this fine line. And that's the hard time when we've got kind of one of these really big economies on the residential side where it's going up. You got to time that right when you're selling at the right moment. And then all of a sudden the house pricing that you want is diving off so you can get a better deal on it. That's the hard part. Let's talk a little more about that just as soon as Around the House returns.
You know, two things only get better with time, women and wine.
Hey, this is
Farewell Angelina.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
It goes down so smooth. Ooh, it makes me want to.
back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, and catch the podcast out there wherever you catch podcasts, because you might hear the show on the radio, but the show has also got two more during the week as well. You can go over and like it on Apple Podcasts, go there, and it will actually let you, if you kind of follow us on that, it'll actually remind you when it comes up. Of course, the website is where it'll go first.
Also, while you're checking out the Facebook page Around the House with Eric G, head over to our private Facebook group. That's Around the House Nation. That is our closed group that we have where you can share up your projects, your how things are going, ask any questions. We've got lots of experts in there, and share a funny meme from time to time.
Oh, yeah. We have a good time over there, and we've had some great projects go up here the last few weeks. It has been a very active group, which has been fun to grow over the last couple of years that we've had that. Speaking of that, you know what today is? And I haven't told you this either.
No, I don't know what today is.
I'm dropping this on you without you even knowing. It is our 33rd birthday of Around the House.
Oh, wow. God, it feels like it was just not that long ago that we celebrated 30 years and did our whole flashback episode.
Yep. So we went to 33 today. Nice. So yeah. So
the show is older than I am.
By a lot.
Oh, by like a year, by not even 2 years.
I know. That's a lot. It's not like you'd be in here at one going, "Welcome to Around the House." I mean,
thank you for hanging out with us though, for everybody who's been with us. We appreciate it.
So yeah, it's like, man, I gotta go change all of our websites and all that other stuff. It's like, wow, our 33rd year. So anyway, we've had a great year this last year, and we thank you guys for tuning in and making sure that we keep you busy with home improvement projects, with all of that. Well, I just kind of wanted to wrap up my thoughts on this house thing is just make sure you spend some time and check that insurance policy, make sure it's dialed in. And if you're thinking about, you know, picking up a house, there's still buys out there. You're just going to need to find something that's, you know, your best buys right now are going to be houses that need updating and that kind of stuff that people are scared of. Or maybe they're too small for the neighborhood. All those good real estate things are out there. There's always good deals. You just have to go find them. And you got to be quick. So make sure you got your financing ready to go and that kind of stuff.
I'm ready to jump.
Yeah. You're going to have to come in, hit them with a hard offer and go. I'm seeing plenty of bidding wars across the country when you're getting in stuff, including in Texas, where it seems like Texas and Florida, there's a lot of people moving to.
Yeah.
And those are other hot markets that maybe weren't as hot before. But it's always interesting when you look at U-Haul prices and see what U-Haul's charging to get across the country. It's funny because if you wanted to bring a U-Haul to Texas, it's like three times the money that if you want to bring it back.
Wow.
Because they got to get those things moved around.
Supply and demand.
It is. It absolutely is. Well, hey, I got another subject I wanted to dive into here before we run out of time in our first hour. And that's really 8 everyday things that are dirtier than your toilet. And I'm not talking COVID stuff. I'm just talking about stuff that, you know, if you came in and did a swab and see how bacteria filled it is,
it's going to be, on par, if not more than your toilet.
Absolutely. So number 8, that keyboard or remote control.
These are everyday things that we all touch all the time. And in a pre-pandemic world, at least, you just don't think to clean on a regular basis.
Yep. I don't know. We've always talked about some of these things, but this is just one of those fun ones that I wanted to blast through.
Absolutely. And when we mention them, try and think to yourself, when was the last time I cleaned that? Like actually disinfected these items.
Yeah. That's a good one. Number 7, bathroom doorknobs.
Yep.
Think about restaurants.
Any doorknob, really.
That's always, bathroom ones seem to be the worst.
Of course. Well,
obvious reasons.
Yes.
But that's one of those ones that you got to be really careful with. And, you know, I know a lot of people will sit there and go, think about all it takes is that one person to have not washed their hands and touched the doorknob, and now you got a problem.
Well, and for me, this kind of blends into the next one as well. We're talking about bathroom, fairly dirty spot, but the kitchen as well. When you're talking about people, when you're dealing with raw food and you might have touched that cabinet drawer or any sort of handle in the kitchen.
Like you're just working chicken.
You're not thinking about it. And all it takes is one person. All it takes is just, it doesn't have to be the person that regularly cooks. Just someone wanted to cook dinner for the night. And next thing you know, you've got salmonella or something. Yeah, that's gross.
That's what I like about Julie is she is such a...
She's meticulous.
Meticulous germ freak when it comes to chicken.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we could be sitting there in any poultry like that. I could be in there and literally, if I'm in there and she... It might as well be a clean room.
She's, don't touch it. Don't touch anything.
She's wiping everything down afterwards and killing things with... Just going after it. So that's... It's... I'm safe at my house, but are you safe at your house? That's the question right there. And then here's a funny one. Your cell phone and headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have headphones here.
Yep.
Not using every day many times. I am more than yours, but it's one of those things that...
We each use the same pair every week.
Not that big a deal. But think about those ones that go in your pocket. Maybe it's your Samsung, your Apple ones. When's the last time you disinfected those things?
Mm-hmm. Or your phone, the thing you probably touch the most out of anything else on your person.
I'm going to add one on here that's not on the list right now.
Okay.
I'm going to add a part B to the, or part A to that one. Your keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. When's the last time you wiped your keys down?
Don't ask me that question. Don't look at me and actually ask me that question.
I'm asking that question because I can tell you when the last time I had. I don't recall.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time that I did.
So you think about that, run around your warm pocket. You know, you set them on a counter someplace.
Hands are always on them.
You know, you throw them around. It's one of those things. So here's another one here that I thought was really good. That kitchen sponge or towel.
See, the sponge is gross, but the second that any sponge ever gives out, if it smells at all, I can't do it. I can't do that smell.
Yeah, I have actually, I've done it a couple different ways. I've run them through the dishwasher before on the sanitize cycle. Tends to do a pretty good job with that. You can always just throw them away and get another one, but I hate wasting stuff.
True.
But those are things that, I've got laundry that I can run it through as well. My washer has a steam sanitize function where it'll actually steam everything and kill any of those germs.
Yeah, as long as you're not just throwing it in the dishwasher. I mean, the thing is, though, is like when you get into a drying cycle, like if you don't use the sanitize cycle and it just crusts up the sponge, it's not, you just ruined your sponge.
I know. You got to be careful with that. That's another one of those.
Yeah, stay on top of the bath or on top of the towels as well, especially ones in the kitchen. Again, while you're the things that you're touching and everything, and all it takes is once to contaminate that and spread it around.
Same with even those rugs that are in there too as well, because sometimes you'll be, if you have a area rug in your, or a bath mat, those kind of things, same rules apply. Just because it's down on the floor doesn't mean that when you're cooking something, you're cutting chicken or you're cutting, if you've got some of those mats in your kitchen. I don't in my house, but some people do those things. Got to be careful of those too.
Well, like the bath mat, say you have, for lack of a better term, a leak or something, when you have the shower on and you have water that's not staying in the shower and leaking out, and that water gets underneath that mat. And if you don't notice it, you just have water sitting there underneath your mat in a closed space, dark and closed.
Oh, space. Yeah. And then think about it. And this is another thing as far as the toilet part of it. When you flush that toilet, of course, it aerates. It gives off a little bit of moisture in the air. That's going to fall out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think about that landing 3, 4, 5 feet away on anything around there. So if you've got a bath mat right there, which in a common bathtub, many times, with that standard hall bath, you've got the tub at the end, toilet, vanity, door.
Yep.
It's right there. That thing, not a bad idea to wash that thing every couple weeks. So food for thought, everybody. That's a big one right there. Now, here's the one that I think we learned this last year.
Yes.
But before that, wasn't a big deal.
No one really thought of it before this last year.
Those reusable garbage bags.
Those cloth.
Garbage bags, but the reusable
shopping bags.
Shopping bags. Yeah. Thank you. I'll spit it out. Brutal. You get the meat juices.
Yep.
Now, I've seen some people, which concerns me. This is where I go, whoa, hope you're not reusing those there. People will go into the home center with the same bags. And now they're bringing out the chemicals from lawn and garden.
Yeah, putting it in your...
And then the food's going to be in there. And it's like, whoa, slow down. Those things, if you're still using them in some areas of the country, you can't still.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure that you're cleaning those and doing them correctly. Run them through the laundry. Make sure they're good. I mean, just a little bit of cleaning goes a long way with those kind of things. and make sure you get them cleaned up, because that's a key right there. Now, here's one that this is one of my kind of favorites. Before we go out to break, we'll leave it at this one. Your steering wheel in your car.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you sanitized that? Yeah. And I actually did see this. It was kind of funny. I saw a commercial the other day. Then this is what kind of got me on the commercial the other day. And we're going to have to go out to break here in a second. But I was Armor All had a car sanitizer for actually wiping down and sanitizing your car. And I went, man, especially if you're doing like DoorDash and those kind of things, not a bad idea to deal with that, because that's one of those things that you're messing with a lot of people. You're cruising around. A lot of that stuff now is kind of touchless, but you're still going into restaurants and everything else. One other thing to think about when you're doing things around the house, make sure that car's clean too. Stay tuned. More Around the House just after these important messages. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Man, we've been talking about the eight everything, everyday things. I can spit it out, right?
We're not broadcasters.
No, not at all. That's just, yeah.
I'm going to, as your producer, I feel it's my job to laugh at you when you screw something up.
You should. That's what your job is. Eight everyday things that are dirtier than your toilet. See, I was getting choked up. That was a gagging reflex going, brutal. We've been talking about that. And before that, we were diving into, in the first part of the show, we were talking about really kind of the housing economy and how that's going to affect you as a homeowner or you as a renter. And so if you're just joining us now, make sure you go back and check that out on the radio show. Of course, it's all on the podcast, anywhere you catch podcasts out there, including our website.
Yep, you can find that at aroundthehouseonline.com. You can also give us a call here in the studio. I don't care if we're talking about something this week and you're like, man, they're not going to talk about it next week. Yes, we will. Give us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 971-233-8992.
And before we get back to the list, there's going to be a subject we're going to dive into, which I was talking to somebody. It's going to be in the next couple of weeks we'll put this together, an upcoming show. But I want to talk about, in an upcoming show, that technology that you have available to you that you don't know you have.
That you never knew you could do.
Yeah. Things that you have as an option that you're probably paying for now.
That you're not utilizing to the fullest.
You have no idea. You have no idea that you're paying for this. And you got the use. You could be using it. It's free. And you're not even doing it. So we've got some subject matter like that. We're going to be diving into stuff around the house like that, especially when it comes to technology. There's some things out there that the more I dive into this, the deeper the subject gets. And I'm like, this is going to be a fun one.
And real quick, before we get back to the list, let's go ahead and tease ahead. Who are we talking to in the next hour, Eric?
Oh, yes. This is a good one. We've got Brad Lovelace from Simpson Door.
Awesome.
We're going to be talking with Brad about interior doors, exterior doors, front doors, and some really good new trends on doors, too. And that's going to be a fun one because we're diving into curb appeal and how to quiet things inside your house if you're trying to have maybe those Zoom meetings and Microsoft Team meetings out there.
There you go. This is something we talk about every year during cost versus value and how important it is to have that good curb appeal, to have a good front door, to make it pop, to make it really stand out to your buyer that if you're going to end up selling your house.
And more importantly, when you invest in a door, you want to make sure you get the right one, because we'll talk about that. It's one of those things that the right door makes a big difference, because you can have two of the exact same house across the street from each other, and the way that the weather hits it can make that door last 50 years or 5. And so you want to make sure you get the right one. We're going to dive into that subject because you want to put something in there that's going to hold up.
Yeah, stick around for that.
That'll be coming up here just after this break up here. So make sure you don't miss that. We've been talking about those eight everyday things that are dirtier than the toilet, you know, like your keyboard, remote control, cutting board, countertops. We go down the list here. But the number one one here that I wanted to talk about, and I got a couple other ones I want to kind of put as honorable mentions in here as well. that backpack or purse or your wallet.
Yep.
Those are ones that money's dirty. Not good.
You don't know where it's been.
Yeah. Why do you think I get worried about $2 bills here in Portland?
Yeah. Enough said. If you're from here, you know.
Yeah. Somebody hands you a $2 bill in Portland, you go, ooh, I know where that's been. I don't want to touch it. Can I get a rubber glove, please? Anyway, before we digress too far into this, it's one of those things that make sure you keep that clean and get that dialed in, because that's one of those that can be really bad. Just as there's a couple other places that didn't make this list that I really want you to think about. The dishwasher handle.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. It's not just the front.
You got to actually get
underneath where you're grabbing under on that handle. And the same goes for your refrigerator. It's not the front of the handle. It's your fingertips. So you think about that, where your fingertips go, backside of the knobs and doors. Those are things that are pretty grimy as well.
Another thing I just kind of thought of is like ice trays. Say if you have to make your, if you do your own ice, how often have you actually cleaned those trays?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, putting it in the freezer ain't going to kill some stuff.
No, it doesn't kill that. I mean, things stick around in the freezer.
Yeah. And including, there's so many other little things, too. You know, you got to think about your outdoor cooking. I'm really meticulous about this. I want to make sure my barbecue is really dialed in. Because sometimes, you know, I'll go out there and I'll have something wrapped up in plastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've been marinating something. I take it out. I drip it. I do everything else. Yeah, you want to make sure that's all dialed in, too. And just because it's sitting outside doesn't mean that it's not dirty.
Well, no. And also, if you have an outdoor kitchen, you're probably dealing with raw meat.
Always.
So then you got to worry
in
about.
In my case.
Well, exactly. That's usually how it goes.
Yep.
You got to worry about any of the door handles heading inside or outside, any of the guardrails that are there around your barbecue where people might be touching, where you might be touching. You got to think of these things.
It's all smart, general care stuff that you can be doing around there. And one thing I want you to pay attention to, too, are all those kind of tools that you use that maybe don't go in your dishwasher. If you've got like wood barbecue tools.
Or the brush. Yeah.
And the brush. And by the way, make sure you get a brush that doesn't end up killing you. Those wire brushes.
Yeah.
That's one of those you got to be careful with. Those wires can bust off and end up in your food.
Yep.
That's how you end in the hospital or worse. So make sure you're careful with that. That's an important one. So really, you know, I'm not here to scare you with all this list. I just want to make sure that you've got it pretty dialed in.
Keep it in mind.
Keep it in mind, you know. And, hey, before we go out to break here, I wanted to talk about one question that I had that came in that was kind of interesting this week. And it was just a quick message, but we were debating about washing machines. They were trying to decide to go out and pick the right washing machine. And there's a big debate out there between front load, top load. We've debated that to death here.
Yep. But we know where you stand.
You know where I stand, and I think I like saving water and saving the environment. One thing that I want to make sure that you're doing, no matter what you're doing, is the quality of soap that you're running in these machines makes a difference. If you're having a bad experience with your washer, find out what soap. Call the customer service line. Find out what soap they recommend for that unit, and try running that soap through it.
See if it makes a difference.
See if it makes a difference. It might make a difference. You know, when a dishwasher company puts Cascade in there, they're kind of telling you, hey, we got this little pack to do it. But many times, that formula, they've tested it, and it works better than other things. So make sure that you're using the right soap, the right amount of soap, and when in doubt, ask those questions. It could make a difference. You could be using a cheap soap. You could be using the wrong soap or the wrong detergent in there, and that can make a huge difference. All right, when we come back, let's talk doors. Shut the front door just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.